We're visiting with Tom Stecker this morning. What's today? The 27th of
March.
March 2015. And another in our series of interviews that we've been conducting on the history of Western Dubuque. And Tom has some really strong, good insights, I know, as far as how he became involved or became a student at West Dubuque. How about, Tom, maybe go back to that period of time in the late 50s, early 60s. Where did you kind of get started with your school experience back then?
Okay, Bob. Thank you for interviewing me. I'm very happy to participate in this because I've told my wife many times that my days at Western Dubuque High School were among the happiest days of my life, and hopefully I can shed a little light on why I have continued to feel that way over my lifetime, and now I'm age 66.
Where'd the time go?
I know it. In 2 years, we'll be celebrating our 50th class reunion. Just to go back, I grew up on a farm in Centralia, and I was the fourth of five kids. My older brothers and sisters, my younger sister and I went to the St. John the Baptist Catholic Grade School in Piasta, just 2 miles away. And there was a small high school that at one time was a Catholic high school, but then it became a public high school. And my three older siblings actually graduated from the Piasta High School. Sandra in 1957, Ken in 1960, and Bill in 1962. And Bill, by the time Bill graduated in 62, the West Dubuque district had already been formed. The new high school in Epworth was under construction. But while it was under construction, there was a couple of years, I believe the graduating class of 61 and the graduating class of 62, the Epworth and Piasta high schools were actually satellite high schools of the new fledgling West Dubuque district. So I graduated from the grade school in Piasta in 1963, but starting in seventh grade, the district was newly formed, and those of us that were in the high school in the grade school at Piasta, we were very excited about this new development for high school. And I was always interested in sports, and my seventh grade year, which would have been the 61-62 school year, there was a new young teacher right out of college that came to teach at the Piasta West Dubuque location, and that young man's name was Tom Wickham, and he taught history among other things, and was also the varsity boys baseball and basketball coach. And after school let out in grade school during the basketball season, before the bus would come, I would dash out of the school and run across and watch the varsity team scrimmage and shag balls for him and everything. And I got to know Tom Wickham through that experience. And Tom Wickham was only like 23 years old at the time, and he was an excellent basketball player himself. And I was just in awe of the guy, and I thought, you know, that's when my dream started to be formulated, that, boy, someday I would love to go to West Dubuque High School and play basketball for Tom Wickham. So that just became a fixation and a goal that I had. So I graduated in 63 from Piasta High School, started at West Dubuque the fall of 1963, which would have been the second year that the building was open. And I'll never forget the first time I walked into the new gymnasium at West Dubuque. I thought I was walking into Madison Square Garden. because the gymnasiums at Piasta and Epworth High Schools were just little cracker boxes. And to see that gymnasium at West Dubuque, I was just in awe. So that's kind of the background of my family and how I first became acquainted with Western Dubuque, and how I got started there. So
was there some discussion or whatever in your family as far as where you would go to high school at that point?
You know, it's funny, Bob, because and Mr. Drexler would be in a much better position to talk about this than me, but when I was in seventh grade, the indication was that that the Piasta Parish was fully supportive of this new West Dubuque district and West Dubuque High School. And as a result, the Piasta graduating class from grade school the year before me, as well as my class, the vast majority of us did go to Western Dubuque in Epworth. However, when I was in eighth grade, something must have changed. I do know we got a new archbishop in the Archdiocese of Dubuque at that time, and maybe he had a different philosophy, but I can distinctly remember Father Churchill from Farley coming to talk, by invitation of Father Breitbach from Piasta, coming to talk to our 8th grade class about going to Farley St. Joe's Catholic High School. And I remember it as being kind of a put in terms of, this is what you need to do. But those in my class, we had been operating under the assumption that our parish was supportive of West Dubuque, and we had made up our minds in seventh grade that we were going to West Dubuque, and we did, with one exception. But then subsequent classes, the class behind me and the class after that, the majority of them did go to Farley St. Joe's.
Yeah. Well, so that was your freshman year was
63, 64. Yeah.
So back then, was there transportation back and forth?
Bob, you had asked a question about transportation to school at West Dubuque. That was one of the side benefits of going to West Dubuque, because the school bus did come as far as Centralia, where I was living with my parents on the farm. And Centralia was the eastern boundary of the West Dubuque School District. And our farm was located right on Old Highway 20, which is now Old Highway Road. And the bus stopped right at the end of our driveway. So it was very convenient for my parents. They didn't have to pull away from their chores or anything. All I had to do was be ready to hop on the bus, and they dropped me off when school was out at the end of the day. So it worked out very well transportation-wise.
Was that first year at West Dubuque, did they have the kitchen facilities at that time?
Yes. They did have the kitchen facility, and actually, the first year that West Dubuque was in operation, they didn't have the gym the full year. The gym was not finished until about January or February of the first year that it was in operation. So when I started there in the fall of 63, the gym had barely been used, because that was the last thing that they finished off with the new high school building.
What are your memories as far as some of the teachers you had back then?
I can't tell you how much of a difference it was between grade school and high school. It seemed like in grade school the emphasis was on discipline and memorization. And when I started high school, it was such a huge difference. First of all, you had the freedom of going from one classroom to the next. Every class that you had, you got out in the hallway and you walked to a different classroom. In grade school, we were in one room the whole time, and the discipline that was expected of antsy kids was unbelievable. So first of all, you had the feeling of the freedom of movement. The other thing that really made an impression on me was how young so many of the teachers were at West Dubuque. It was a new district, so Mr. Drexler and Mr. Buckman had to staff it with a new staff of teachers. And a lot of the teachers, such as Tom Wickham, Don Hermson, Carl Hying, Tom Kilberg, people like that, they were like my older brothers and sisters. They were so young, and they were fun. They were energetic. They were athletic. When I went out for sports, you know, they were right out there with us, pushing and shoving and running and shooting and everything. And it was just such a fun atmosphere because of the youthfulness of the school, the youthfulness of the teaching staff, and it was a very positive environment. Here were all these kids from all these little farms and very small towns, from this huge school district, coming together. So we were meeting new kids from all over the area, and it was like a whole new world opened up to me. It was just the greatest experience.
You mentioned going out for the athletics, and what did you do regarding back and forth to home and back for practice and that sort of thing?
That was not easy. I was the only boy at home during my high school years. My two older brothers were, one was in seminary and one was in the military. My dad did not give me up readily to play sports. I really had to battle to do that. After I attained some success, he was proud of me for doing it, but it was very difficult. And he, there was no transportation provided by my parents to get back and forth. So what I did, and this was before light buses were even in place, some of the older kids from the Piasta area, like the Weiderts, I would catch rides with them. And so often, Tom Wickham in basketball or Carl Hying in baseball, they would even drive me home.
Okay.
So I basically had to find my own transportation.
Right. What about other activities or things that you were involved with at West Dubuque?
Because I really enjoyed the classroom aspect of high school, because this new energy that I found for going to school, I ended up being a good student, which shocked me greatly. I made the honor roll, was named to the National Honor Society my sophomore year, you know, so I wasn't involved because of my obligations at home to help my dad on the farm. I wasn't able to participate in band or theater or chorus or anything like that. I I focused on my studies, and I focused on basketball during the winter months and baseball during the warm months, and that's about all I could do.
Okay.
You know, because like I said, I had a lot of obligations. And this is kind of a funny side note, that in basketball, Tom Wickham did end up to be my varsity coach junior and senior year, and Don Hermson was my coach freshman and sophomore year. But Tom Wickham knew that when we had practice after school, that I had to be done by 5:30. And because he knew that if I wasn't home to help my dad finish up with the milking and the chores, that he would have to answer to my dad. So can you imagine that today?
Incredible.
Yeah. So I had a good experience educationally. I came from a family that you know, we were mostly farmers and factory workers and truck drivers and all that. When I started high school, I had no thought really of what I would do after high school or anything like that. And I credit that positive educational experience, as well as the real support from Tom Wickham, that I even went on to school after high school. I never did well in standardized exams, so the conventional wisdom said that I was kind of a borderline case as to whether I'd make it in college or not. So I really was in a quandary as to whether to even entertain those thoughts or not. So I went to Tom, I went to Coach Wickham, and I said, you know, what do you think? I said, here are my test scores. I don't test real well and all that. And without one second of hesitation, he said, Tom, he said, whatever, he said, these test scores are good indications and everything, but what they don't measure is desire and work ethic. And he said, you have both of those. And he said, you will not have any problem.
So then you made the decision to pursue your education at where?
Loras College.
Did you have any other options besides that? Or?
You know, I had a couple of scholarship offers. I had three. I had one from Stout State, Albert Lee, and one other school to play basketball. But even though I had a great varsity career, I really didn't feel I was good enough to play at the college level. And I'll tell you why. I did not play one coached game of basketball until my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, I did not have the fundamentals of the game. I did not have dribbling, you know, pivoting, you know, all the subtleties of the game, which kids now start learning when they're in
third grade
and playing organized ball from third through eighth grade. I did catch up by my senior year with a lot of those fundamentals, and things came together for me. But I just felt that the guys that I would be competing against at the college level, I felt that they had
an advantage,
a real advantage. And the other thing is, I wanted to focus on my education, and the expectation was that I would pay for my own college education. That didn't even come in question. So by living at home, I was able to work three or four part-time jobs. I worked on construction during the summer and all that. And by virtue of doing that, I paid my own way through college.
What other jobs did you?
I worked on construction during the summer. I refereed basketball. I filed property tax papers at the Dubuque County Courthouse. I did work for other farmers in the area. I did odd jobs for people that I met by doing the construction work during the summer. I met the superintendent. I worked two summers on the Kennedy Mall project while it was being built.
Okay.
The summers of 68 and 69. And the superintendent of that job was a guy by the name of Joe Bernardi. And he was from Youngstown, Ohio. And he hired me to do his yard work and stuff.
Okay.
And he paid me very well. He paid me what I was making as a union laborer on the construction job. So, but I was still able to play a lot of sports. Dubuque at that time had an excellent city rec league. And actually the West Dubuque teachers invited me to play on their team. And Bob, you were part of that too. Tom Wickham and Tom Kilberg, Carl Hying,
Dick
Walu, Tom Wickham, yourself, Larry McCready.
I just interviewed McCready Monday.
Did you? And I was so honored that you guys asked me to play with you. We played for Edwards Construction. Jim Edwards from Edwards Construction sponsored that team. And that was so much fun, and we played a very high level of basketball. We were in the major league, and we played the best teams in the league, and we held our own. We did very well. And Loras College had an excellent intramural program too, and I participated in all those programs. So I didn't drop sports by any stretch of the imagination. I just didn't devote myself to it at a varsity level.
What was your major in college?
Believe it or not, German.
Okay.
I spent 6 months of my junior year at the University of Würzburg in West Germany.
Wow, okay.
I was always, as a kid growing up on the farm, we never took a family vacation. We were always tied to,
right.
We were dairy farmers, you had to milk the cows twice a day, and all the farm work and all that. And over the years, I really had a desire to do something different and travel. The other thing, I thought I was going to get drafted to go to Vietnam after I graduated from college. I had a student deferment for 4 years. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do something wild and crazy. And I applied as a private student. It wasn't an exchange program or anything. And I actually had to go to... I had to go to Germany first and pass a foreign language equivalency exam to be admitted into the University of Würzburg. So I did that, and I passed the exam. I spent a semester, the second semester of my junior year over there, did a lot of traveling, looked up my roots. My grandfather, Stecker, came from Switzerland, connected with a bunch of relatives that never did immigrate to this country. I was the only German major. My dad was always worried, what are you going to do with a German major? I said, I don't know, Dad, but I sure enjoy what I'm doing. But one of my part-time jobs in college, too, was I was hired in November of 1968. First semester... sophomore year at Loras, to be a part-time coin wrapper at First National Bank of Dubuque.
Okay.
And I had taken no business courses. Actually, what I thought I was going to do, I thought I was going to be, maybe I wanted to be a high school teacher and coach.
Yeah.
Maybe follow in Tom Wickham's footsteps. But as luck or unluck had it, by the time I graduated in 71, there were 500 applicants for every teacher opening. And I had already worked at the bank 2.5 years part-time. And again, fate does some strange things. I found out that I had an aptitude for finance and banking. And even while I was a student at Loris, they kept giving me new things, new projects to do at the bank. And as a farm kid, it could be the crappiest job, and I would do it. And compared to farm work,
it was heaven.
It was heaven, and they paid me besides. I started at $1.75 an hour. Minimum wage at that time was $1.60, so I commanded a premium of 15 cents an hour over the prevailing minimum wage at the time. And by second semester senior year, the bank approached me and offered me a management trainee position.
Okay.
Which I decided to take and try for a couple of years. And here, 45 years later, I just retired from the banking business.
Wow, isn't that amazing? The different divergent paths that people take
and leading these totally unexpected in many cases.
So yeah. From coin wrapper start.
Yeah.
You got in the banking business.
Yeah, and I attained the level of executive vice president and cashier toward the end of my career. But, you know, to circle back, Bob, I can't say enough about those 4 years at West Dubuque High School because the world started opening up to me.
Yeah.
And I found myself in an environment that was not only fun, but people that I could relate to. The teachers were excellent teachers. They were young. They were energetic. They were interested in the students.
How many were in your class?
There were 112 of us in my graduating class.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get together every 5 years for a reunion.
I was... Well, in doing a lot of the research and whatever for the project, it was original plan to build a high school was that they would build for a capacity of 240. That would be the most students that ever, whatever, ever possibly intend was to do. And the irony of all that, you know, within 10 years, it was way over capacity because here a lot of the parochial schools had closed.
Yeah.
And now, where did the kids go? And of course, they all went to West Dubuque, and primarily. And then, you know, it was such a struggle from there on to add on facilities. And to make it bigger and whatever, but just the irony of the whole thing. To think that it would have been people's vision was that 240 kids would be, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. At any rate, so you had the time was right for you going into high school and the. West Dubuque had opened up, and you took advantage of it.
I did, and I've always had such a great admiration for Wayne Drexler and Ralph Buckman. Didn't have as much contact with Wayne Drexler as Ralph Buckman because Ralph was the principal of the high school, and he was known as a very strong disciplinarian. He was a World War II veteran, and he was a no-nonsense guy. But I'll tell you, we got a lot of rough kids from schools. Some of the kids that got kicked out of the Catholic grade schools ended up at West Dubuque. And if you would ask any of these tough guys from those days what they thought of Ralph Buckman, they would have nothing but praise for him. Because Mr. Buckman was tough, but he was fair, and he also had a sense of humor. I can remember the big thing when you got off the bus in the morning was you trolled the hallways.
Okay.
And you would walk around, and you'd see what the girls were wearing that day, and say hello to all your friends, and all this kind of stuff. And Mr. Buckman was constantly
patrolling
and telling kids to get into their classrooms, and commenting on if our hair was too long, or if the girls' skirts were too short, or something like that. But you know, the one thing that I always admired about Mr. Buckman was that he was tough, and I was at the end of his discipline a couple of times, but he never carried a grudge.
Yeah.
He, you know, as long as you just didn't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, it happened today and it was gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
He never carried a grudge, and I think that's why people respected him so much.
Right.
They knew they were out of line and they expected to be disciplined, but they didn't want to have it held over their head their entire 4-year career.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, obviously you had a really positive high school experience, and I appreciate you sharing a lot of your experiences with us, and we'll add it to the archives.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for taking on this project. It is so important, while Mr. Drexler is still living and of sound mind, to record this, because it has had such a huge impact on the area covered by the West Dubuque School District. It's definitely a history worth preserving.